Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
The chaplain is in today on Catholic Answers Live. This hour, we depart each week from our usual apologetics questions and tackle issues that have more to do with the care of souls. So if you have a question about transubstantiation or the Trinity or any other doctrine of the Church, if you would be kind enough, please hold those for another hour. This hour, we address pastoral concerns and maybe, if we can, give some helpful advice. 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-318-7884. If you need guidance on a spiritual relationship or family matter, the chaplain is here today. And when we say chaplain, we mean Father Vincent Serpa, the chaplain here at Catholic Answers. He is a Dominican priest and a staff apologist here at Catholic Answers, and you hear him regularly doing Catholic Answers Minute. Hello, Father Vincent.
Hi.
And you had an interesting day today. You went to the doctor, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. It was a checkup sort of thing, and the nurse took my blood pressure, and I had a hard time finding a parking place. And I thought, I did realize that it affected me, but my blood pressure was higher than usual. And then a few minutes later, he took it, and it had gone down. And I realized how often this must happen, and we don't realize it. But it's a result of the stressful lifestyles we live in this very stressful culture. And it can be very dehumanizing, and it affects us in a lot of ways. I mean, it can affect one eating more than one should, various escapes, I find that the one thing that calms me faster than anything I can think of is when I sit before the Blessed Sacrament and go over the Lord's Passion. And I start out, thinking of myself and how I feel and whatever. But by the time I get all the way to his death on the cross, the focus somewhere along the line shifts from me to him. And then I relax. And I don't realize it until afterwards. But at the end, I'm very much at peace, and I know that I'm focusing on him rather than on myself. The purpose of this is not to reduce stress. The purpose of this is to be faithful to him and to be in tune with reality. And there's no greater reality than that. I've written out a reflection on the Passion, and I've given it out to people. I've given it on the internet many times. I'm about to redo it, though, because there's some things I want to add to it. But it does help people. I mean, there are people who've had problems with faith, and, each one of us believes more than we realize. We're always have direct contact with all that we believe, and it's not always on our mind. When one begins to focus on what our Lord endured, this we all believe, if we're Catholics, and to let that in and ponder it is transforming, because for some people it's something they hadn't thought of for years, since maybe they were children, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden, yes, this is what they believe, and they've kind of forgotten it, and they're so consoled by it. And then all of a sudden, they begin to get perspective. they look at their own situation, and it just dwarfs compared to what he endured and compared to the love that he has for us, because he actually died for us.
So when you say you did a reflection on this, is it written or you recorded
it's written,
it?
It's written.
Oh, it's written.
And I've used it on the forums many times in answering questions. In fact, there's one man that every so often asks me to put it on the to answer with it, to put it on the thing.
Oh, yeah.
But I as I say, and there's some people have asked me recently, but I want to redo it again because the one that I wrote, I didn't mention anything. Emphasize as much as I think I should have the rejection that he endured, and we tend not to think of that so often. But there's one thing that people fear It's rejection.
Rejection, right, right.
I mean, it's the biggie. It's the biggie. And whether they're Christians or believers or whatever they are,
right.
You know. Yep. And there's no consolation to that that can equal the love that Christ has for us as he demonstrated on the cross.
It's interesting that to me that you would bring this up today, this idea of this stress and the way that – because there's a study that came out today that says they've started doing the study 7 years ago of like taking the temperature of the American populace and how stressed out are people feeling. And it's higher this year than it's ever been before.
Well, I could in this country I could understand it because of the upheaval with regard to the elections and on.
Right.
On the other hand, there are some people that's the one thing that has been somewhat soothing to them because they've been stressed in the other direction for so long. And but in any case, there's still a lot of upheaval because of people's reaction to all kinds of things, and including still the election. So there is nothing that can give give us more peace than whatever we're enduring and whatever we think we're enduring, than to just at least in our minds get on our knees and reflect on what he endured. And I used a couple of books on when I did this reflection. One of them is the doctor at Calvary, and it gives what Arthur would have experienced physically. And there's some other ones too that I've used. And this all got started when Catholic Answers had somebody from the center in the LA area that is devoted to the Shroud of Turin. And the man came down here and was on the program. And then he invited us all up there, but we couldn't go. So he came down and gave us a talk. And I went to be polite because I thought I understood the whole thing. Well, I was surprised. I first of all, I didn't realize just how extensive the scourging was. I had no idea. This is way before the movie, the Passion of the Christ.
Yeah.
So, and then all the, so that just in itself was horrendous. And so then as I thought about it, I determined that I wasn't going to let a day go by that I didn't give thanks for it and try to go over it as much of it as I could. And as I've done that, I've learned more and more because you can't exhaust the significance of the Passion. It's just too much there. This is God, after all, God-man, you know.
Right.
So there's his human nature, and then there's his divine nature as well. So at any rate, that's what has been on my mind, especially in terms of stress, which seems to be all around us.
Well, the chaplain is in this hour. If you have questions about stress and how to deal with stress, that would be perfectly fine. Anything having to do with the life of the soul, the life of the family, relationships, that's what the pastor is in is all about. 888-318-7884 is the number, 888-31-TRUTH. This is Catholic Answers Live, and we'll be right back.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley of the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
This is Tim Staples, and I'm challenging you to take the 20 Answers Challenge. Catholic Answers 20 Answers series offers hard facts, powerful arguments, and clear explanations of the most important topics facing the Church and the world. Here's how the challenge works. When you purchase the sampler of all 20 books in the series, we're going to knock the price in half, and we're challenging you to finish them all this Lent and Easter season. Then we're going to take $10 from each set purchased and provide materials to our friends at St. Paul Street Evangelization so they can do what they do best, hit the streets and share the Catholic faith. That's $10 from every set you purchase going to help our fellow workers in the vineyard. You win, St. Paul Street Evangelization wins, the Catholic Church wins. That's a win-win-win. Together, we can be part of something great. Call 888-291-8000 or visit the shop at Catholic.com now to get your set and begin taking the 20 Answers Challenge today.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serva. In Mark 8:22, People brought a blind man to Jesus and begged him to touch him. Jesus took the blind man aside by the hand to a private place, performed a ritual, very much as he had recently done with a deaf man, and he healed him. He put spittle on the man's eyes and then asked what he could see. At first, the man's sight was problematic, so Jesus laid his hands on him a second time, and the man saw clearly. His concern here was not with making a public statement, but simply to minister to one of his own in need. He seemed to deliberately heal the man slowly by a step-by-step process, thereby showing his disciples that spiritual growth is a process as well. This is how he ministers to us. Our spiritual journey is a process, not a once-and-for-all experience. We grow by steps. We slip back, we repent, are forgiven, and proceed. It's a kind of breathing in and out with the breath of the Holy Spirit. I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Chaplain Father Vincent Serpa is our guest this hour as we push pause on our usual apologetics and tackle spiritual, emotional, or family issues. 888-318-7884 is the number to speak with Father Serpa if you could use some pastoral advice or some help with a problem or some direction. 888-31-TRUTH. We go to Anonymous, who is completely anonymous to me. I don't know where you are, Anonymous, but you are on with the chaplain, Father Vincent Serpa.
Hi.
Hi, good evening.
Hi.
How can we help you?
Hi. I am a liturgist and a teacher, so I'm very cognizant of the fact that people learn and pray in different ways. And I have a concern with people, you know, close loved ones of mine and just anybody who really has trouble sitting still during the Mass or during church or have trouble reading, and it just keeps them away from reading the Bible and growing in their spiritual life. So how can people like that approach those things in a way that will help them grow?
Well, some people I know have a hard time being still. I mean, they need to be walking around. They're nervous. They need to – they for whatever reason, they can't be still. Better for them maybe to sit at the back of the church so that they don't feel so intimidated by other people noticing that they're uneasy. There are reasons for it, of course. Then that they can vary, but one of them, some people who are very anxious, or because they're uncomfortable with themselves and maybe need some psychological help. I think the first thing for people to recognize, I know when I is the personal aspect of the Catholicism and the Bible and the liturgy. It's intensely personal because our Lord is intensely personal. I remember when I was novice master, I would every year we take a tour of our province, which is the western part of the country. And we'd visit all our houses, and the novices would come and visit and see what our place was like, and so on. Our places were like, and when I get to one of the parishes, the one we have in Los Angeles, I had been pastor there for 7 years, that's a very, very big parish. There's always all kinds of things going on. You know, when I come back and I'd see it, I think, my gosh, how did I do this? You know, the parking lot is never empty at night. I mean, all week long, it's just there's always something going on, and so many people. And then I'd celebrate Mass, and I'd go to preach, and then I'd look out and I'd see people I knew, and it became personal. It wasn't this humongous place that was making all kinds of demands on me. They were people, and I would look at each one individually, and it was very doable, you know, because it wasn't it was manageable. When you think in terms of the fact that our religion is about Jesus Christ, the fact that He is God and man, and that He loved us just a second, my phone is going off here, and I
thought it was me,
it off.
Father. Here, you want me to do it for you?
I got it.
Okay,
I think I got it. There we go. Got it. Now, I'll probably forget to turn it on now.
Well, now I have anxiety. You stressed me out.
Me too. My thumbs, I was all thumbs. I couldn't get a thing done. But anyway, he loved us, with the divine love in a human way, you know, one by one. And so despite the fact that people might maybe be intimidated because they're in a big church or there are a lot of people there or it's hard to stay still or they're nervous, if our Lord were to sit down next to them and just talk to them and listen to them and enjoy their company, their presence there, they'd relax. What they need to do is recognize that same Lord is there in church in the liturgy, and he loves them, and he understands. He's not there to pressure them or to discourage them or to condemn them in any way. He understands how they are because he designed them. He knows everything about them, and the more they are introduced to this approachable God, the easier all the rest of it will become. The church is basically about our relationship with the Lord and his love for us. That's the very core, and then everything else it just supports it, you know, including liturgy, including silence. Especially silence when one is capable and able at the same time. As long as one is capable of being quiet and being silent, and people can learn to do that too, but a little bit at a time, you know. Now I know I'm speaking generalities, and you probably wanted specifics. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, so what if a person is intimidated by the Mass and by the Bible just because they think they're boring?
Well, they only think they're boring because they don't see the person of Jesus in it. They need to have some experience of Jesus in a personal way. They need to know who he is, and that often comes from talking to other people, you know, maybe sitting down with someone and going over some simple passage, you know, maybe with the Lord meeting the lady at the well, and the woman, wants to go and tell her husband, and he says, but you have five husbands, and what you have now is not your own. And suddenly she realizes that he knows a lot more about her than anybody could, and he reveals himself. He tells her who he is. She doesn't even ask, and he tells her because he cared about her. You know, he just walked right into her life in this very, very unlikely way, and talked to her when Jews didn't talk to Samaritans. She was a Samaritan. And so the first thing she noticed was that he was talking to her, and this wasn't supposed to be allowed. But he didn't care. He was interested in her. And once people learn who Jesus is and that he's interested in them, the rest just falls into place. But getting them there is something you have to pray on and be willing to share your own experience with them. And listen with them. Show some interest in them. That you do one-on-one, you know. It can be done, you know, in homilies and so on, but it's most effective when it's done one-on-one, you know, in a personal way.
Thank you, Anonymous. We go now to Daniel in South Portland, Maine, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Daniel, you are on with Chaplain Father Vincent Serpa.
Yeah. I had a question. I struggle with anxiety disorder.
Mm-hmm.
So I meet with counselors on a regular basis, on a weekly basis.
Mm-hmm.
And all they suggest is basically like meditation and go on meds and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't like that. And I was wondering if you could give me some biblical advice as to how to deal with that because of my anxiety disorder. I frequently have panic attacks.
Sure, I understand. When do you feel most anxious?
It doesn't. There's no specific pattern.
It just comes out of nowhere. I take it. Is that it?
Well, during certain situations, basically, mm-hmm. I believe that's when I don't have control over situations.
I see. Yeah, I certainly couldn't understand that. When or is it least likely that you'd have one, that you'd have an anxiety attack?
When I'm listening to music or talking to a very good friend of mine.
Okay, and that's probably when you feel at least the least under attack. You're relaxed, and so you can put your guards down and not worry about. Because I know that anxiety attacks become sort of they suggest themselves. I mean, you know, the more anxious you are, the more you worry about being anxious, and it just goes on and on. I think that what I've been saying, if you just spend some time maybe looking at a crucifix and reflecting on how much Jesus loves you and how much he was willing to endure for you, and that he knows what it's like to endure anxiety because he endured anxiety himself in his passion, a great deal of anxiety. I mean, that's what his whole agony in the garden was about, was the agony in his mind. He was worried about what was going to happen. You know, he knew what was going to happen, and he sweated blood. He was so anxious. So he knows what you're enduring. You're not alone when that happens. And no one understands you in this regard better than he does. And to know that you have such a close confidant as the Lord, and that he loves you, the more you reflect on that, I would think the more comforted you'd be.
Okay, and I had a follow-up question.
Sure.
If you have time for it.
Okay.
Is meditation unbiblical, or is it fine?
Well, to meditate on Scripture is a fine thing. I mean, it's always been. This is something that even before the incarnation, even the Jews meditated on Scripture. But we do, of course, we do with regard to the Lord as well, with regard to Jesus. The more you think about, you know, we read a little passage and then you reflect on it, that's a great thing to do. And if it leads you to prayer, all the better.
Thank you, Daniel. We go now to another anonymous caller in an anonymous place. Anonymous, you are on with Father Vincent Serpa.
Hi.
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 So my question is, my husband and I are trying to conceive,
mm-hmm.
And they're running a lot of tests on, like, me, and but they want to run tests to test, like, his sperm count and stuff,
mm-hmm.
And I he's wondering if, like, there's moral implications behind that, and I've gotten several different answers from several different Catholics, so I don't know.
Well, I would say the best thing to do, do you have access to the internet?
Yes.
Okay. If you Google the National Catholic Bioethics Center, National Catholic Bioethics Center, you can get their phone number and call them directly. And they specialize in this sort of thing. And they will not steer you wrong. It's not a matter of someone's opinion. It's pretty much, you know, what the church teaches. And this is their specialty, so they'd be the best people to talk to about that. I mean, I could give you my opinion, but I think it'd be better for you to go there. Okay?
All right.
Good enough.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you very much, Anonymous, for your call. The chaplain is in this hour. If you have questions of a pastoral nature, if you have questions having to do with the spiritual life, with growth in the spiritual life, with the family, with relationships, you're more than welcome to give us those calls today. 888-31-TRUTH is the number, 888-318-7884. And Father Vincent Serpa, the chaplain, who is in fact the chaplain here at Catholic Answers, I think I called you the pastor earlier, but that is incorrect. The chaplain here at Catholic Answers is happy to take your calls. And Father, as a Dominican, you're part of the Order of Preachers. But do you get special training as a preacher? Is that...
It comes from, you know, it's funny because we do have classes in homiletics, but basically it comes from our whole formation, everything, the philosophy, theology, it all comes from that. I mean, it's the focus, the way we're educated.
I wondered because you're very good at giving advice and that kind of thing, but that's a different skill than preaching. Well, we'll talk about it a little more when we come back on the other side. This is Catholic Answers Live. The chaplain is in. 888-318-7884 is the number. We will be right back.
Catholic Answers Live.
Monsignor Robert Hugh Benson's masterpiece, Lord of the World, is, in a word, prophetic. Originally published in 1907, it depicts a world where relativism has triumphed over objectivity, a world where, in the name of tolerance, religious doctrine is not tolerated. It is a world where euthanasia is practiced widely and religion hardly practiced at all. The lord of this nightmare world is a benign-looking politician intent on power in the name of peace and intent on the destruction of religion in the name of truth. Author Dale Alquist said it best, whether or not Monsignor Benson's picture of our future is accurate, the fact is his picture of our present is chillingly accurate. Recommended by Pope Benedict XVI and by Pope Francis, Lord of the World is a must-read. It's also the latest release in the Catholic Answers Classics series. Order your copy of Lord of the World now by calling 1-888-291-8000 or by visiting Catholic.com or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Dr. Scott Hahn says, Robert Spencer is a careful observer of Islam and a courageous voice on behalf of Christians. In his new book, Not Peace But a Sword, he shows Catholics how to take Islam seriously without falling into alarmism, hatred, or bigotry. He provides a needed corrective to the misinformation and disinformation propagated by so many media today. Order your copy of Not Peace But a Sword today by calling 1-888-291-8000. Visiting the online shop at Catholic.com or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Welcome back. The chaplain is in this hour on Catholic Answers Live. Father Vincent Serpa is ready to take your calls and offer help if you have issues in the spiritual life or relationships that you would like to discuss. 888-318-7884 is the number. Before we go back to the phones, however, as you may know, Catholic Answers has a series of 20 books called the 20 Answers series. So each book is 20 answers on a different topic, whether here this one is the real Jesus or death and judgment or what a whole variety of topics. And for the month of February, when you buy the whole set of 20, the sampler set of 20, it's going to be half price. But not only that, they're going to take $10 of your purchase price and give it to St. Paul Street Evangelization so they can do what they do best, which is street evangelization, to share the Catholic message in a friendly and non-confrontational way out in the street. So that's a lot of winners there. And then what some of us are doing is taking the 20 Answers Challenge a bit further. We're going to read all 20 of these books by the end of the Easter season, that is by June 4th. So I think there's a whole bunch of people, Father, more than 700 now have started to take the 20 Answers Challenge. And I think when I get done with that, I'm going to know some stuff. Like I might be able to answer some questions. I don't know.
I'd like to think that you know some stuff already.
Really? Thank you for liking to think that.
Well, the fact that you're here.
I know how to go. And Father will take your question now. I'm really good at that. And in that spirit, I'll give the number again, 888-318-7884. The chaplain is in, and we go to Anne in Wellesley, Massachusetts, listening on the Station of the Cross, WQOM. Anne, you're on with Father Vincent Serpa.
Hi there.
Hi.
Yes. My question doesn't have such a sense of humor to it. Sorry.
That's okay.
Father Serpa, you received a caller 2 weeks ago who asked you about the unforgivable sin toward mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit.
Right.
My question has several parts. To recap, you mentioned that the sin was a way of short-circuiting ourselves, mm-hmm. that the unforgivable sin is the unwillingness to accept the Holy Spirit's power to help us.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a deep down as a matter of faith? In other words, if we go to confession, but we don't feel forgiven or we don't forgive ourselves, does that belie an unwillingness to accept the Holy Spirit's power to help us?
Absolutely not.
Can it be?
Absolutely
no?
Not. No. The feelings have nothing. I mean, our holiness is the result of our will, our intellect and our will, not how we feel. Our Lord didn't feel loving when he was hanging on the cross. He felt pain. How we feel, you know, our culture tells us that we are what we feel, and we just aren't. We aren't what our feelings. Our feelings are not us. They're what we experience, but they're not us. They don't say who we are. Thank God, because sometimes we don't feel that great, you know. Being forgiven is having the Lord forgive you, not having you feel forgiven. The reality is that he forgives you. The reality isn't that you feel forgiven, because as I said last time, I also said last time that you can, for example, you can feel guilty and not be guilty, and you can be guilty and not feel guilty. Feelings are auxiliary generators. They give thrust to our actions, but they don't determine the goodness or the badness of what we do. So the fact that you don't feel forgiven has nothing to do with the reality itself. That's just a feeling. That's all. And if you look at the feeling and I recognize what it is, this is a feeling I'm experiencing, then you're not one with it anymore. You're recognizing that it's not you. It's a part of you, and it's something you can talk about, you know, apart from yourself. Because we get up in the morning and we feel groggy or sleepy or whatever, does not determine that we're not loved by God in the morning because we don't feel that we're loved by him or by anybody else. You know, we don't. The reality of whether another person loves us doesn't depend on how much we feel loved. It depends on how much they're willing to love us. And then they demonstrate it in various ways. The most convincing way of demonstrating love is by sacrificing for the one we love, because it's not easy to do. So it's not just a matter of words. One is willing to go further and deny oneself for the benefit of the one loved. So you're forgiven, you know. The unforgivable sin isn't a matter of feeling. You know, it's what you will. If you will to say, you know, God can't forgive me, then you're not letting him forgive you, and that's why it's unforgivable, because you don't want you're denying the forgiveness. But you want to be forgiven, so that you can't possibly be sinning in that way, because you want to be forgiven. You get it?
Right, because you tell yourself that you want to be forgiven. You can tell yourself that, right?
Sure.
And it's not about. If you pushed people away, because the Holy Spirit uses people to help us, and if you push all other people away, all our loved ones, but you're still sorry for it, then
whatever
it's not like
whatever,
you're caught up in that.
Whatever you're sorry for, the Lord will forgive, you know, no matter what it is. Yeah.
Okay. I always have a hard time with that feeling stuff, will and intellect versus feeling. So I'm not surprised at your answer.
Okay. Well, okay. I'm glad this helped. Take care.
Thank you, Anne. Father, we are streaming live on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, and Periscope, all live video services. So if anybody's out there would like to see what it looks like here, you can join us on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, or Periscope. But also sometimes folks there type in a little question to us on those sites. And so this is from Rosemary. Father Vincent, how can I rid myself of the fear of going to confession? I know within my heart I have to go and need to seek forgiveness of Christ, but the fear of judgment, which I know sounds silly from my priest, diverts my attention. Any guidance is very much appreciated, and please pray for me and my weak self.
Well, as I told someone a long time ago, there's nothing dangerous about confessing our sins. Nothing dangerous. Nothing's going to happen, you know. And the priest isn't going to suddenly say, "You sinned," and you know, because that's what he's there for. He's there to hear your sins and to absolve you. So it's not a reason thing. But you know, a lot of the difficulties we have don't come from reason. They come from fear quite often, and I wouldn't doubt that that's the case with you. And perhaps when you were younger, you experienced a very harsh judgment, and it was very painful to you. And as a result, you know, I'm just saying this hypothetically. Maybe it's not the case. But in any case, whatever the case is, to recognize, first of all, that the priest himself goes to confession and that he's a sinner as well, and that children go to confession. I've always enjoyed hearing first confessions. They're so wonderful. And hearing confessions there are times when I just wish people could see and hear what I'm seeing and hearing, because when people let their guards down, there's just beauty in them, you know, and you see how sincere they are and the worries that they have and how similar we all are, you know. Basically, what you need to recognize is that when you're confessing your sins to the priest, he is absolving you, and he's ministering to you in the person of Jesus Christ, so that when he raises his hand to absolve you, it is really the nail-scarred hand of the Lord who's absolving you. It is Jesus Christ who's absolving. The priest is not giving you his forgiveness. He's giving you Christ's forgiveness, because Christ has given him that power. It's amazing. I mean, it's a great, great gift that the Lord gives to mere human beings. But priests, you know, are sinners like everyone else. So it's not something that they've earned the right to. It's very humbling for the priest to do this, because he's a sinner alongside of the people that he's absolving. The fearing Christ's judgment is the last thing you need to fear. What you need to fear is, well, you don't need to fear anything. What you need to focus on is the fact that he was willing to shed his blood for you, and that he would do it again if he needed to. There's no limit to how much he loves you. And it's a hard one, a hard concept for us to grasp, because everything we know is limited. But we know what suffering is, and we know how much he was willing to endure, how much suffering he was willing to endure, just so that our sins would be forgiven. If you begin to worry about it, look at the crucifix. You know, take your rosary and hold on to the crucifix. Keep focusing on the crucifix, because you're focusing on his love. And that should give you the strength you need to receive his forgiveness.
Thank you, Rosemary, for that question from Facebook Live. And the stuff on Facebook Live and YouTube Live and Periscope, it hangs around there. So if you ever want to watch a show or two of Catholic Answers Live, you can go there and find the shows there. We go now to Nick in McHenry Hill, Illinois, listening on WSFI in Antioch, Illinois. Nick, you are on with Father Vincent Serpa.
Hello. Good evening.
Hi.
Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. Father, just a quick question in regards to helping family members. Just to preface the call, we took in a nephew that initially was going through some hard times with a divorced family. Mm-hmm. He's 18, and the mother has two other children. But wondering if there's any general signs where it seems to be that you're helping them, but possibly at the same time hurting the existing family members, and maybe possibly to determine when it's more harm than good to help them in that regards, and maybe any guidance you might be able to provide.
Well, not knowing the situation any more than what you've just mentioned, that can be kind of tricky. If the person is 18. And he's there because of divorce in his family, his parents. Is that it?
Right. Okay. Yeah, the father's mistreating him, and my wife had offered to offer up our home. He's actually enlisted in the service and going to the same high school as my son. And he's scheduled to go into service at the end of June.
Okay.
So it's I thought it'd be for a week or two, but turns out it might be longer in that regards. And he's a good kid, but just some of the strikes that we're going through in our own family, and a little anxiety as well, since the topic was some anxiety issues.
Does your family ever pray together?
Right. We pray for meals, and we're attending the Sunday Mass. They're not of the same denomination, so that's a little tricky, too,
The one who's in your home right now is another.
So, kind of exempt from going to church with us, just because not the same religion. I said, well, it wouldn't hurt, you know, to come along and pray for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, not probably as much as we should all together at the same time.
Well, maybe when you say grace before the meals, maybe you could extend it a little bit and just mention people that you want to pray for. and let the whole family, make an addition of so-and-so, let him pray for his family as well. It would be good for him to think in terms of asking the Lord's help in his situation. Do you think you could do that with your family? Do you think they'd go for it?
Right, and that's what we're continuing to try in that regard. So, and I know what you mean about being tricky and you want to be a good Catholic, but to the point, my local father during confession basically said, I know you want to help, but to the point where it might be hindering your family more harm than the good, maybe to make other living arrangements, but... that was just wondering what your take was on that, or if there's any additional.
Well, you're saying that it sounds like a long time. It doesn't sound like a long time to me at all, just a couple of months. That could, of course, again, it depends on what's going on in your family, but it would seem to me that if your family could leave, if this could be an good experience for him, as much as you think it may not be, compared to what he's enduring at home, he may seeing a normal family, maybe, and experiencing normal family life, could make an awful lot a big difference in his life from here on in. So I would think twice before ending it, and certainly I'll certainly pray for it for you all.
Thank you very much, Nick. The chaplain is in today. We've got another segment of your calls for Chaplain Father Vincent Serpa. We'll be right back on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers. Our success depends on you.
Today, our faith is under attack like never before. Skeptics of all stripes are trying to undermine the very basis of our faith, the revelation that God has given us in Jesus Christ. Some critics argue that Jesus never even existed, and they've influenced tens of millions of people today. Others have argued that we shouldn't trust the canonical Gospels because there were dozens of other Gospels in the early church. And many more have claimed that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were all written long after the ministry of Christ, and that the evangelist felt free to simply invent stories and sayings of Jesus to suit their own goals. No wonder so many people today doubt their faith or have lost it altogether. The good news is that there are answers to each and every one of these charges. That's why Catholic Answers Studios has just released a new DVD by Jimmy Akin titled Why You Can Trust the Gospels. It's a powerful presentation in which Jimmy takes on the skeptics and refutes them point by point, revealing how evidence from non-Christian sources and even tiny details in the Gospels that you've never noticed all show how the Gospels are true and accurate records of what our Savior said and did. To make your donation and get a free copy of Jimmy Akin's new DVD, Why You Can Trust the Gospels, visit Catholic.com and click the Why You Can Trust the Gospels banner, or call us toll-free at 888-291-8000. That's the Why You Can Trust the Gospels banner at Catholic.com, or call toll-free 888-291-8000.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
St. Paul's street evangelization isn't like other evangelism you might have seen on the streets. We don't yell, and we don't force anyone to pay attention to us. Instead, St. Paul's street evangelization is committed to presenting a positive, passionately Catholic presence to a world hungry for truth. For more information or to start a chapter of your own, go to www.streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com. It's time to do our part.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Next hour, Carlo Broussard will be here with us. Carlo is going to talk about the saints, the intercession of the saints, and deal with any difficulties you might have with the Catholic idea of who the saints are and how we relate to the saints. Again, that's next hour. For the rest of this hour, we have Father Vincent Serpa with us. Father Vincent Serpa is the chaplain here at Catholic Answers and taking your calls on any issues of the heart, issues of the soul, issues of the family. We go now to Suzanne in Bethel, New York, listening on 91.9 FM. Suzanne, you are on with Father Vincent Serpa.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it. A little less than a month ago, my father had a severe stroke. It's affected our whole family. He's lost most of the function on his right side. And we pray and pray, and I just don't feel like we're being heard. I don't know what to do. It's tearing me up. I feel very alone, and I don't know what else to do.
How old is your father?
Any help you can give me.
How old is your father?
58.
58, okay. And can he communicate at all?
Gestures.
Gestures. Huh? Well, you need to recognize if you feel alone, how much more he feels, because there are probably things he wants to say and he can't say them. This is new to him. It's very frustrating to not have full use of your body, you know. And so he's going through a difficult time, much more so than you are. I would suggest the more time you are with him and trying to, the more you try to help him feel not alone and loved, and the more you sympathize with him and give him attention, and I would think that that would help him, but it would help you also as a result of doing that, because there is a good side to this. The fact that this experience in your family can draw a lot of love out of the rest of the family if they recognize that this is the case. You know, giving attention to him and not themselves could be a very good thing. I mean, for everybody involved, for him certainly, but for the family as well. Because certainly you haven't lost your father. Your father is there, and he can communicate to some degree. So the more you you are attentive to him, the better he'll feel, and that'd be a good thing, don't you think?
Absolutely. It's the most frustrating to watch him struggle to communicate.
Sure.
Be so frustrated by that. That's the worst.
Is he getting any therapy?
Intensive. Physical therapy, okay. Speech therapy. Yeah.
Be patient, because it takes a while, but these days, they can recover quite a bit, depending on the type of stroke and how soon they were able to help him come to his aid. But at any rate, certainly your love for him can heal more than you realize. And so this is an opportunity for your family to grow closer and to become more loving. And if that's the case, then this has been a very good thing. So I'll certainly keep you in my prayers, but I think that just focusing on him will be and the fact that the Lord allowed this to happen. He doesn't do this for any out of anger. He does this because he loves us and he wants to bring love out of us. So try that, and I think you'll be pleasantly surprised by the good effect it can have on the whole family.
Thank you. Suzanne, will certainly keep you and your family in our prayers. We go to Norma in Iowa, listening on a 102.7 FM Iowa Catholic Radio. Norma, your question for Father Vincent Serpa.
Good evening, Father.
Hi.
I appreciate you on the line right now.
Okay.
I need a few ideas of some different prayers, because I've been praying the rosary every morning for my daughter, Lydia, primarily because my ex-husband and I have been divorced for 3 years, and now that she is of age to go to court, I had asked a mediator to help Tom and I, because we have bad communication.
Now, how old is she? How old is she?
She is now 14.
14, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But each thing that I've been bringing up, trying to talk to her in a more positive manner, she says, no, I don't want to do things with you. I feel better with my dad, and she's actually kind of almost lying on something so that I will lose custody when I see the mediator back in a few months.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if there's other ideas and prayers that I can pray that can help put my mind more at ease.
Well, you know, just put this before the Lord and ask him for the grace to do his will, whatever that is, whatever he asks of you. And then no matter what happens, good will happen because you're putting him first. You know, our whole lives are about the Lord, really. You know, we experience very many things and we begin to assume that it's about us. Our lives are about the Lord and our love for him. And he only allows things in our lives that will draw us closer to him, even though it seems like the last thing that he's asking of us. So, you know, sometimes by being willing to lose the people we love, we end up having them more than we ever would have otherwise. Ask him for the grace to be positive and loving and kind and trusting that he knows best, and see what happens, you know, rather than operate out of fear. St. John says that love conquers fear. So try to be as loving as you can to your daughter, to your ex-husband, certainly to the Lord, and see what results from that.
Thank you, Norma. We go to Rena in Morgan Hill, California, listening on Immaculate Heart Radio. Rena, you are on with the chaplain.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
My husband and I have been married for 6 years, mm-hmm. and we have 6 children, and we are not a part of the Catholic Church. Mm-hmm. My mother-in-law is, and she has been encouraging me to call in because before my husband and I got married, we felt very strongly that we did not want to use any sort of birth control. And we kind of were the odd ones out in our circle of friends and even in our church. And we just really struggled to find any solid teaching biblically from over the issue besides just really just trusting, feeling like God just really wanted us to trust him. And we've recently... we had our 6th baby. She's 10 months old, and I've had some health issues just with my pregnancies being so close together. Mm-hmm. And we're just feeling a lot of the pressure financially and just on the stress on our marriage of just having a baby every year since mm-hmm. we've been married. And
Norma, since we're short of time, I just have to clarify the question because it's a great question, but we're short of time. So your question is there any advice about when it's okay to use natural family planning and when it's not?
Yes.
Okay, Father.
Okay, well, certainly the church is okay with delaying a pregnancy because of financial issues or health issues, that would be considered all right. You're not saying no to life. You're just delaying it for this particular time because of your particular situation.
Thank you very much, Norma. Thank you to all our callers this hour. Thank you to you, Father Vincent Cerqua. I wonder if you would give us your blessing before we end.
May the peace and blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Amen. Next up, Carlo Broussard. He'll be in here to talk about the saints, the intercession of the saints. What do we mean by the saints, and what do we actually believe as Catholics about the saints? Maybe you have a problem or an obstacle in your way to accepting the Catholic teaching on saints. We're going to cover it all when we come back on Catholic Answers Live.